This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You can change the players. You can change the ballparks. You can even change the uniforms to a certain extent. It's the same damn results when the Mets play in Atlanta under these circumstances, needing a win or two in a big series in September. It is the same thing, BT, and I've had it. And now, which a day ago was looking like a foregone conclusion that the Mets eventually would punch their ticket to the postseason, now they are in real trouble.
Hold on, let me grab the trumpet here. Should I start playing taps for you? I mean, are you serious, dude?
Yes, they're in trouble. They are in one game up with five to play. And who the hell knows when they're playing these games?
Well, that's problematic. Going to be sitting in that city and languishing possibly for a couple of days where who knows when they're going to play. Listen, I understand last night was jarring. Mets didn't look good. Now, Severino had some bad luck. A couple of, you know, little bleeders, a little, you know, seven-footer in front of the mound. You know, 213 hoppers to right field. But they didn't hit. They kicked the ball around a little bit. They lose. I got it. It's easy to connect the dots and say, here we go again. And then, you know what? You might go there again. I don't know. But if I said, Sal, it's coming for me. What's the one word? Choose one word to describe the 2024 Mets.
Yeah, resilient.
Okay. So, and they've earned that tag. They've earned that moniker, and they've earned that belief. I don't know what transpires the final five games. I don't. And I know you're not tapping out, and I get it. You get flooded with these emotions here, but I don't know. Like, these Mets with the Senga injury, with the Lindor injury, with the Lindor start, with the Alonso storyline all year, Vientos down, then up, and this and that, all the things that we've discussed. Let him finish the series.
Fair enough, and you're right. And I've used that word. We've used that word several times, even with the tough West Coast trip or this or that. I'm like, yeah, but they've been resilient. They've earned our trust. This is different. There's five games left. Two of them, I'm assuming that they play these damn games. And this bleeping weather. Like, are you kidding me with this weather? Because that's not going to help the Mets. That's going to hurt the Mets. This weather, whether they have to travel to Milwaukee Friday morning, whether they play two games on Monday, like, this is not good. You asked me yesterday, I'd rather just have the three games in Atlanta, let their fate be whatever it may be. But even if you outside of the weather, the look and feel, like, all the resiliency and all the chemistry and the OMG and the grimace and all the fun that they had, it felt like it was 1999 again. It felt like it was 2001. It felt like it was 2022. Watching that team again, in that ballpark or that city against that team, it was lifeless. There was no feel for, all right, they'll be all right, or, oh, they'll come back in this game, or, oh, they'll be resilient. I think the Braves have all the confidence in the world. I think if they play two games today, they play two games on Monday, the Braves are going to win those two games. That's just how I feel. So, yes, they've been resilient, and they've earned that trust. But against this team in that city, it's just different.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is until it's not. Understood. You know, you have a different manager. You've got three different pitchers taking the mound here. It would have been interesting to see if that game would have taken a different twist. Lindor was getting ready to go in. I think he's going to play today if they play today. Listen, man, this is a lot more than I thought you guys would have this year. I know that doesn't provide any solace right now, but every single time, I mean every single time, even Friday night to an extent, when we were there, me, you, and Hoff and Gallo, they get smacked around. Ottavino comes in to relieve Peterson. They get tattooed. We leave the game early. They come back. What do? They win Saturday. What do? They win Sunday, national TV in front of the entire baseball world. So I understand it. You don't scale the mountain until you do. And I could come up with a million other corny cliches. You're living this, and you've lived this for a long time, along with the other great Met fans. But from somebody who didn't think that they would have a prayer this season, and that somebody is me, I think they're going to bounce back.
Yeah.
And even if it's not this series, they're going to bounce back in Milwaukee. They're going to be a playoff team.
And those things are
all
possible.
They're not going to collapse, Al.
Yeah, and I love hearing you say that because those things are all possible. I just can't get myself there because I've been saying for 2 months, yes, this is great. They've been resilient, but it's all going to me, it all comes down to how they play against Atlanta. And they themselves, like, Mendoza could be like, whatever happened in the past doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, he's got to say that. It's true.
Well, to him, but what about to Nimmo? What about to Lindor? Because what about to freaking Pete Alonso? Like, when I watch the Braves, they dominate the Mets. Michael Harris gets better. Like, you hear about, the Braves are down. I didn't see a bad Braves team last night. Oh, the Braves aren't as good as y'all. Really? You could have fooled me because they're doing the same thing. It wasn't even like an excuse me win or a close win. They dominated last night, hitting home runs left and right. And you said, like, yeah, bad luck. But that's par for the course. That is par. All the good Mets luck that they had against Philadelphia, Bulls hitting bags and all this stuff, the bloopers and bleeders that the Mets find away, infield singles, all that evaporated. It goes away in Atlanta. And then the Braves are making Superman-like catches, hitting home runs left and right, hitting a ball twice that finds a hole for a base hit. And it's really a non-competitive 5-1 ho-hum win for Atlanta, which then gives them confidence. Like, we look at it from the Mets perspective. Take 2 of 3 and you go to the postseason. Braves are like, okay, we're 2 games back. We sweep the Mets. We're a game up. And I guarantee you that's what they're thinking. And we haven't even seen Chris Sale yet. Like, yeah, the Mets have been resilient. You're right. They're going to have to. They haven't earned anything yet. And that's all I've been saying for a long time. And this is going to be the toughest test. It always was going to be the toughest test. And now, BT, it's even tougher.
You know, there's a point where it's got to be beyond the ancillary pieces. You know, the Iglesiases and the Winkers and the other, you know, elements, even beyond the Cunha, who I know he booted. The shortstop was very, very hard last night. Even their shortstop had a problem
there. Booted a couple.
It came up on Acuna in the first inning. I don't really fault him on that. I like the way he's playing. But the bottom line is that if the word to describe the Mets is resilient, then I think the storyline once again comes down to, you know who? Pete. So those secondary figures are a nice, cute story, and they've helped get the Mets here. But, you know, Harris last night going what, 8-9 pitches to start the game, then getting on base, then going to Oppo, then making that sick grab in center field on that little looping line drive. Ozuna, who's been an MVP candidate right there with Ohtani, Lindor, he's going Oppo, he's going yard. At the end of the day, we can avoid this. We can focus on the Mets' misery down in that ballpark and the other ballpark and Chipper Jones, and you can pull up any other Brave, that Rick Camp, even though the Mets were good there in 85 with that ridiculous home run at like 3 in the morning. The bottom line is the Mets need their superstar to help.
Yeah,
well, they need Pete Alonso to do something here.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Vientos looks like their superstar last night, and we'll get to Lindor, and hopefully he can be back there with some encouraging signs last night, putting on a uniform, putting on his cleats, getting out there. He was going to pinch hit if who made the last out, whatever. Whoever in front of him would have gotten on. I forget who it was there. I mean, was it Vientos? Whatever. Lindor would have pinch hit there had the game been extended. I don't know if that was the right spot to use him, but it does give you the signs that he's coming back if they do play today or whatever, in fact, that they do play. But I'll tell you, they've been resilient all year long. It means nothing. Just like you want to say, well, 99 means nothing as it pertains to now. Whatever they did so far this year means nothing. They've got 5 games to go. They better figure out a way to finish this because this would be a disaster. And for the first time, I'm really starting to feel like now they're in trouble. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Staten Island. What's up, John?
How you doing, fellas? Like you, Sal, I'm annoyed about yesterday and the Braves, but my main goal is just to get in any way necessary. So this is what you got. This is the best case scenario for the Mets right now. These 2 games get washed, okay? Arizona goes 2-2 over their last 4, starting with the Giants tonight and San Diego on the weekend. The Mets win 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee. Then they clinch. They get a spot. They might have to go to Atlanta to play, because you have to decide between Atlanta and Arizona, but they would be in. So, and if they get rained out tonight and tomorrow, they miss Sal, because Sal will pitch on the weekend.
That could be a good thing, John, and thank you for the call. BT, this is fascinating conversation.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, there's so many variables. So, the weather has gotten worse for today. Right now, I'm obviously no weatherman, but the weather has gotten worse for today. By the way, if you do want to have a weatherman, Jeff Banson reached out yesterday. So I was like, oh, I got to talk to BT and the producer. He's like, oh, come on and talk some weather. So whatever. I forgot to bring that up to you off the air, so I bring it on. Shout out to Jeff Banson. Used to be at News 12. Friendly, whatever. But anyway, the weather has gotten worse in Atlanta today.
Yeah.
So, like, just using common sense, it doesn't feel like they're going to be able to play today, right?
Not unless they really move this game up, and probably not.
And when
tomorrow's absolutely no shot tomorrow.
Well, right. So we knew yesterday, and this is why Major League Baseball, like, they've got their heads so far up their rear ends, it's hard to fathom. Why wouldn't you play two games yesterday? So now let's just paint the best case scenario. I guess the best case scenario would be the two games against Atlanta don't mean anything and they don't have to play them, but that's not going to be realistic. At least one of the games is going to need to be played, you would think.
I would think so.
Okay, so let's say the Mets are in the postseason, but they still have to play those two games on Monday. Like, then they play two games on Monday and have to go to San Diego on Tuesday to play. Like, they're getting hosed here, even if they get in. And by the way, two games on Monday, maybe the Braves can line up the pitching to say we want Chris Sale for that. Like, I don't know how they're going to line that up. Two games on Monday, and the Mets may need those games to get in. That's a problem, too.
Well, I don't know. Listen, now we're starting to just throw stuff out there. I don't know where the Rays are this weekend, but... is Tropicana Field open? I mean, we've seen situations where the Bills have played at Ford Field in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, maybe you lean on that. There's a way to do this, but you know, it's almost like the more curveballs that get thrown at the Mets here, including things that you cannot control, like the weather and other logistical items, does it just kind of fit the season?
Yeah,
like,
well,
this is the Mets.
Yeah, well, you have to be resilient through this as well. By the way, the Mets, I don't believe, are leaving Atlanta until... I believe, I don't know this for a fact, somebody was texting me, whatever, today, but Friday morning. Now, because I don't know if there's a way out. Like, let's say the game gets postponed tonight, maybe they can leave before.
Wow, so they'll fly in on Friday morning to play Friday night in Milwaukee?
I believe so. I mean, well, think about it.
And can we sit in a hotel room for 3 days?
Another problem. You can't fly out Thursday, right? We're assuming
probably not.
Okay, so you can't fly out Thursday, and if they don't fly out like in the next
today,
few hours,
yeah, and they can't because they're going to try to play.
Right. Well, so then do the math. That would mean that they're going to fly out of Atlanta on Friday morning potentially to play Milwaukee.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of excuses. I'm hearing a lot of this, and
They're in trouble. One game.
You
up
actually
with five
think that they're going to really fall short?
I think they're in big trouble.
Define big trouble.
Big trouble.
So meaning they're not going to be a playoff team.
I think
because I got the trumpet right here.
I think there's
I'll start playing taps for you. We could just spare everybody the shenanigans. Is it over
for the first?
Because I don't think that it's over.
I'm not going to say it's over yet, but for the first time since they've dug out of this, like basically since early June. For the first time, I'm starting to feel like you got their plan up. For the first time, I'm starting to feel like they're in serious trouble. I'm not saying it's over.
Let me ask you this, Al, before we get to these calls. What if they played a better game last night but lost? Is it the way they played that really...
Yeah, it's how they looked again.
So they lost 5-4 and it was a more crisp performance... You feel a little differently or no?
Yes, nothing from last night was outside of Vientos. I was not encouraged by anything last night.
Yeah.
And even more discouraging, the way Atlanta played.
Yeah, no, they look pretty good.
Yeah, did that look like a down Atlanta team to you? Like, I didn't see Austin Riley or Acuna, sure, but Harris looks like a superstar again.
Ozuna did his thing.
Yeah, Ozuna.
Starting pitching pretty good.
Here's the other part. You mentioned this. This simplifies why the Braves have dominated the Mets. Their stars are better than the Mets' stars, and it's not even close. Even if they're out, even if some of their stars are out, they still have better stars, especially with Lindor being out for the Mets. But Pete's there, Nimmo's there, doesn't matter. The Braves' stars are better. Rick is in Tampa. What's up, Rick?
Oh, what's up? It's just almost like the Braves, like, okay, well, we got the Mets now. We got this. Let's just step up our game, and we'll beat them like we always do. But regarding the weather that's there, because I'm here in Tampa now, which is gorgeous out here, and it's not actually the hurricane until tomorrow. The weather that's in Atlanta now is generated from something else. So if they could seat the game in early, they have a chance. But they're not going anywhere after this because, obviously, tomorrow they're not going in. Like you said, they're not flying till Friday. So that presents quite a problem for the Mets. But, I mean, what about Severino? BT, we dealt with Sevy for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can he just come up big in that game for you?
Rick, I got to be honest with you, Rick, and we know what Severino did with the Yankees in big games, but I don't necessarily think that that's applicable or transferable to last night. Some people want to make it that. You know, like I heard Evan and, you know, and those guys talking about that. You know, which Severino's going to show up? Can you trust him? I don't know. I mean, the guy that I watched pitch last night wasn't horrendous. You know, I'm sorry, you know, a pretty good pitch where you basically saw the bat in half, and there's a 9-footer down the third base line. Now you can't throw that in the outfield, and you want to keep him at first base.
Well, Alvarez screwed that up.
Yeah. I guess you could look at it that way. Either or,
somebody screwed it up.
You could take command of that, but either way, yeah. It wasn't squared up. Right. And then, I mean, the Laureano hit. He literally hit the ball twice. I mean, I've done that on the golf course. I've never seen a major league hitter do that. Hit a ball twice that went. I think the exit velo was 61 miles an hour. And then the other hit that was, I think that was Albies. It was like a 7-hopper to right field. And now Harris's hit was down the line was pretty hard. But let's not make it seem like Severino came out and he got rocked. I mean, there was the error, and I'm going to exonerate the young man because I think it took a bad hop. But there was the error by Acuna, which extended the inning. They didn't turn the double play there. There was the 9 or 10 pitch at bat to Harris to start the game where Harris just won the battle. So he had 25 or 26 pitches after one. But don't tell me that Severino was awful. That's just lazy.
Yeah, I don't think Severino was
lazy.
Bad. That's, to me, that was the least of the concerns. Like,
I agree.
From last night. I'm not looking at saying,
dude, he put up two zeros in the first two innings.
Yeah, how about the Mets offense do something? They got shut down the entire night.
Yep.
Severino could have thrown a no-hitter, and the Mets might have lost that game.
Four hits, two of which I believe came from, one definitely came from Acuna, and two came from Vientos.
Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Very depressing. You get fired up. But Sal, I'm going to give them a pass because every time this year I bury them, yep, and beat them, they prove me wrong. So we do have two more games against them. I don't want to work on other people. I want them to do their job. Go win these next two games, and then we have no issues. But, I mean, the weather's not helping us at all, but the best. Where are those 30 runs we had in 3 days? A night like last night, you had a day off, you got rest. The bats should have been alive. They were just so flat last night. How do you go flat into Atlanta? We lose to them all the time. You think they would have been fired up? This team didn't show me nothing last night. But I feel down on them. I just can't.
See, here we go. The one thing, and listen, Charlie, I appreciate the passion. I understand, you know, some people are already resigned to them, you know, falling apart here, which I'm not, and neither is Sal. But some of you,
I'm not there.
I know you're not there yet. Some of you are already pushing this towards the direction of terminal, like it's fatal because it's the Mets and it's the Braves. All right. But the one thing that you can't do, you can, but I don't think it's fair, nor is it accurate. Like Charlie calls up, passion aside, which I love. You know, you make it seem like they didn't try. You know, you can never delineate between, unless you have somebody just loafing on the bases. You know, you tell me the Mets didn't go in there trying to win last night. I mean, how do you say the kid? How do you say his name again?
Schwellenbacher.
I mean, he's pretty nasty. He has really good. I've seen him pitch a few times this year, once against the Mets, where he had like 11 or 12 strikeouts. He is good. When he's on, he's tough. The Braves are good.
Right, but they just beat Zach Wheeler on Sunday night. I mean,
I understand.
I know, but that's...
But it's baseball.
Yes,
it really
you're right. But why is it always the same bleeping thing with this team in that ballpark? This was supposed to be different. Everybody was saying it was supposed to be different. Oh, you're nuts for comparing 2022 to 2024. They're in a much better spot right now. This team is confident. They've still got that mojo. The Braves are down. Like, I can give you the list of reasons why everybody logically said this is not the same. History has nothing to do with it, blah, 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 blah. And then I say, okay, well, great, because the Mets just took 3 out of 4 from the Phillies, who were significantly better than the Braves. Zach Wheeler better than whatever the Braves have. And yet the Mets go in there in game one, and they get shut down by Atlanta. Harris is making Superman plays. Olsen doing well. Ozuna doing well. The pitcher shuts them down. And they haven't even thrown Chris Sale yet. And the Mets can't get a hit. They were non-competitive last night. So all those logical reasons, that made sense. I mean, there's logic behind it. Out the window in game one in Atlanta,
Listen, the good news is, unlike, you know, some of these, more so in basketball than hockey, it's not necessarily like a matchup thing. You know, I don't, even though Sale has been phenomenal, I mean, geez,
right, God, they can beat him.
Yeah, it's not like you look at certain teams in other sports, like this team just doesn't match up with that team. I don't look at it this way. You know, if I don't look at baseball that way. Do your job, show up. You're going to be in a hotel for a couple of days, get the weather reports, just bear through it, plow through. You got 5 games to win a couple. Finish the job. That's it. No excuses.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acuna back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees in just a minute, but there is, as far as from last night, The news from News Today, BT, according to Jack Curry, Nestor Cortez getting an MRI on his left elbow. So there's some uncertainty. He's supposed to start tonight. I wanted to see the exact tweet here. Concerning news. This is from Jack Curry. Concerning news for the Yankees is Nestor Cortez tonight's scheduled starter is getting an MRI on his left elbow. He's been great as of late, and who knows now what that means for the postseason. I know you're not that high on Nestor, but...
I like the option of having him,
yeah.
And that certainly sounds ominous with five games to go here. I mean, he's not going to pitch tonight. MRI.
Could be Stroh back to the rotation.
Yeah, that was my first thought there. So we're going to get into the Yankees coming up there. Yeah. Torres is another absolute mental, he's just a mess. We'll do that coming up. But yeah, this is not what you want with five games to go.
All right, back to the Mets here last night. Stop me if you've heard this before. Lost a big game in Atlanta in September. Some things never change. 888-808-1019. David is on Long Island. What's up, David?
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, disappointed, obviously, last night. You would think the Braves would do everything in their power to at least play today, because if they play today, we got Sale, and then tomorrow gets rained out and the Mets have to come back Monday, we could face Sale again on Monday. The other thing is there's a scenario where the way the weather's looking and the Braves have Kansas City coming in right after.
Right. How are they going to get those games in?
Well, that's it. So the Braves may actually have to play a doubleheader Sunday, and then a doubleheader Monday against the Mets. So, you know, in one aspect, the weather could work in our favor, right? If Kansas City gets rained out a little and they're forced to play that doubleheader on Sunday.
Baseball needs to step in here, though, and thank you for the call, David. I can't get enough of this conversation, BT. I'm fascinated by it. What is going to happen? Just the unknown, and generally with weather, it is unknown, but this is extreme. Like, we've known since yesterday, maybe even before yesterday, that Thursday was not going to happen. So, knowing that, how couldn't baseball think, all right, well, let's just, even if they, you know, the Braves don't want to mess up the gate because it's a big gate, why not do a split doubleheader yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Knuckleheads?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely some things that they could have done preemptively. Listen, baseball's leadership has always been a problem for me.
Right.
Whether it's the Astros scandal, the steroids, the work stoppage in 94. It's like, I don't think it's ever really been strong.
Right.
So this is not anything out of the norm for them. They're too often Major League Baseball comes across as leaderless.
Yeah.
Really does.
And the Braves are worried about the gate. Oh, they're worried about the gate because it's a big gate. Well, guess what? Now you might not get the games in at all. Or now you might have two doubleheaders. So you didn't want to have one forced on you, which would have guaranteed you getting in two games yesterday. Instead, you run the risk tonight, not likely to get that game in. Tomorrow, you're definitely not getting it in. Who the hell knows when you're going to be playing these games? This is a major problem here.
Listen, we could talk about gates, and we could talk about things they didn't do, things they could do. Bottom line is this. When the Mets get on the field, play better baseball. That's it.
Well, that is true, too.
That's it.
But, I mean, they might now be sitting on that loss for a couple of days. We have no idea here what's happening. Steve is calling from Newark. What's up, Steve?
Hey-o, gentlemen, there is two solutions. Actually, there's only one solution. Aside from Sal touching the money, once again.
I didn't touch any money.
Move past that.
I didn't touch any money.
How about this?
Hold on a second. What are you talking about? You got to give me the example. I didn't touch any money.
Lock it up, Sal. All you've been talking about is playoff baseball for a month now. It is sickening. Same old Mets.
Get lost. I'm not talking about Steve's. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Sal, BT, what's happening, brothers? Listen, a couple of quick things here with the Mets and the Braves. I don't know if you guys heard, but the governor of Georgia, and this helps the Mets, I think, has declared a state of emergency. So I don't think anything's going to happen today or tomorrow, which means the Mets could get out of town, go into Milwaukee, and lock up a playoff spot on the weekend. If that happens, even if they have to go back to Atlanta, they don't have to pay any of their frontline guys, put all the scrubs in, have a bullpen game. And right now, with their state of mind after losing last night, the best thing for them is to get out of town, play the weekend, and let the chips fall where they may. What do you guys think?
Would they be able to expand the rosters if that's the case? Thanks for the call
there. Well, the double headers, yes. I don't know about anything else.
But if it's not a double, like if... If Monday doesn't mean anything, can they...
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
What do you mean if they have to play two games on Monday?
And you don't want to play anybody. I mean, you know.
Technically, for the Mets to lock up a spot without playing another game in Atlanta, they have to sweep Milwaukee.
Correct.
That's the only way that they could do it, I believe. Assuming the Braves.
And if the Braves win two.
I think the Mets' magic number was.
The Braves get the tiebreaker, right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it would because they're 5-5 going into last night's game.
Right. That's the other part about this series that's huge.
The tiebreaker
right.
is massive.
Right, you win two out of three, the Mets would be in, and they would have the tiebreaker over Atlanta, which
yes.
doesn't matter because they'd be in.
Yes.
But if the Braves win, they would then close it. Let's just say they played the series out normally. Braves won two out of three. Mm-hmm. They'd be a game back of the Mets in the standings, and they'd have the tiebreaker
Correct.
Over the Mets going on the final
Correct.
Three games. I mean, there's so many variables here. Who the hell knows? But I don't think you could just say, well, let's get these two games, forget these two games, go to Milwaukee and take care of business. Yeah, sweep the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Now, those games still don't mean anything for Milwaukee because they're not going to catch the Phillies or the Dodgers. So they're pretty much locked
so.
In.
That's what I've been saying for a couple days here.
It might
work out
right.
advantageously
but
for the Mets
are going to sweep that series?
I mean, you know, that's tall order on the road, sweep. I mean, but, oh boy.
And then let's say they do sweep that
this
series.
This is so convoluted.
Yeah, it really is a mess. Let's say they do sweep that series
uh-huh.
and they're in. They're still going to have to play two games Monday because the Braves are probably need that. Like, nobody wants to do that. That's what you're saying, like, expand the rosters.
That's what I meant. Just yeah. where so the Mets don't have to run out anybody.
Yeah, I think.
They don't want to.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Right. You would have whoever is going to pitch out of the bullpen. Yeah, I mean, probably call up at least one. I think you're allowed to use one guy, right, for the doubleheader. Jay is in Queens. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, so I actually want to make 2 points. You know, all this talk about the weather. This is another example. I'm like you, Sal. I want them to go through the Braves. I want them to beat the Braves. That's my first point. And the second point is, how many times have we seen the Mets really go into a game unprepared? They know they haven't been able to figure out this Schwellenbach guy, and they just go in there thinking they got a good feel coming off of a, you know, three of four from Phillies. Going to the game thinking they're going to, you know, beat this Braves team, especially Schwellenbach, who's really got their number. One run in I don't know how many innings. I mean, we've seen this time and time again where any team can throw out a rookie, and the Mets just don't seem to be prepared.
Jay, I'm going to let you in on something here, Jay. You know, it's not a lot of people know this, but I do feel compelled to share this with you. Baseball's not easy, buddy. It is hard. I mean, I understand it's easy to associate a lack of effort or focus, like when the bats are impotent. Like, it's easy to say, this team wasn't locked in. That's lazy. Really, this young man, I think he was a second-round pick out of Nebraska,
yeah.
right, is good. And he's been a revelation for their staff. He's pitched well against the Mets prior. Now, he's had some rough games. When he's on, he's on. It's not like he's just pitched well against the Mets. He's had some other gems. And they lost the game. But to connect it to a lack of preparation is counter to everything that these 2024 Mets have shown you, like what who they are and what, I don't know. That's disrespectful to the Mets.
Right.
To me.
Right. But
these Mets.
He's not Mike Scott. I mean, I know he's good.
I understand that.
But let's not make it like, I mean, he can't be touched here. He's good. He's a good pitcher. But like I said, they just beat Zach Wheeler on Sunday night. And it's a combination of things. Atlanta's offense got out to the lead. The Mets' defense was sloppy, whatever. Bad luck, sure. But then the Mets' offense has to step up. And they didn't. And they couldn't get to him. Vientos was the only guy who shut up last night. And then, what do you think is going to get easier? Schwellenbacher or whatever his name is. Schwellenbach. Yeah, he's a good pitcher. He's not Chris Sale. Going to get only more difficult facing Chris Sale. or Freed. I mean, the Mets are in trouble.
No, listen, it's not lined up well from the pitching perspective. You would have, oh God, you would have loved to. This is the crazy thing, Sal. The longer the show goes on, the more I'm starting to think that they're in trouble. I mean, I'm trying to fend this off because I really want a Subway Series. Last night, it was jarring, or at least a chance of a Subway Series. It was definitely jarring. I can imagine what you're feeling here. I get it. You've communicated it. The couple of calls we've taken, same deal. But there's five games to. You don't have to win five. You don't have to win four.
Well, if they swept Milwaukee, it doesn't matter what they do against Atlanta, right? Because they get to 90, the Braves cannot get to. Oh no, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think it would matter if they lose the next two.
I don't know. Now I'm all messed up.
At least the Diamondbacks aren't playing particularly well all of a sudden.
This is how bad it was last night. Like, I was looking forward to getting home. I was listening to the game because I was, coming home from the train, whatever, after SNY.
Yeah.
So I'm flipping back and forth. I was listening to John back with Susan. We'll have Susan on later.
Absolutely.
But then I was listening really to the Mets once that game started, which was a little bit later. And I get home. I'm excited to watch it. Told my wife, just leave me alone. Like, it's a big game tonight. Get the dinner going. And then I see that. And I legit wanted to shut it off. Now, I stuck with it and endured the pain that, again, you have to witness as a Met fan in that damn ballpark against that team.
It's beautiful isn't it? I like the brick in.
No,
right,
it's disgusting.
Nice.
I hate everything about it. I hate the big outfield. I hate the colors. I hate everything about it. I wanted to throw my remote at the TV. I wanted to just shut the game off. And I couldn't. I stuck with it. Not knowing. I knew the Mets weren't going to come back, but that's how angry I was last night.
I watched more Mets than Yankees. My son at one point said, put the Yankees on. What are you doing? I said, this is the story. Honestly, that's what he said. I said, this is for work. I said, the Mets are trying to make the playoffs. This is the series that daddy's got to watch this.
Yeah.
It was boring.
And then you turn on the Yankees.
Not much happened.
And then you turn on the Yankees and showed Colt how not to run the bases. We'll get to
that. Well, then I heard downstairs when Judge went yard, I'm like, God, they're handling business. But then, of course, as you said, of course, Torres with another gaffe, which we'll get to. I don't know how you. I know they're going to play him because they always do. And I heard some more post-game excuses from Aaron Boone. But that is not. That is going to happen again. You can book it with Gleyber Torres.
18 sound on the fan. Back to these Met calls. 888-881-1019.
Let's listen. The Yankee stuff last night. So there is a very old adage in baseball. Yes, you will sacrifice an out for a run. You don't sacrifice a run for an out. What Gleyber Torres did last night was ridiculous. And Hoff was trying to tell us this in the meeting. I don't want to hear it. Luis Rojas, his hands are clearly up. He is clearly saying stop. And I have a still shot on my X account. I have the video up there as well, watching it in real time. About 3 feet before, 2 to 3 feet before, Torres gets to the bag on Torres' base hit to right field. Rojas says tap the brakes. Obviously, Soto tries to stretch it to two, and then what Torres does, what you shouldn't do, is you sacrifice the run for the out to try to make sure that Soto is safe at second base. Now, sloppy all around, maybe if it's somebody else, you give him a pass. I'll tell you who didn't give him a pass, Aaron Judge, postgame. Now, Aaron Judge is never going to rip a teammate too harshly, but when he says this, the captain, not happy.
Yeah, it might have been just a little miscommunication, but, he was hustling the whole way, and I think he wanted to score, and, he got the stop sign, and just kind of no man's land right there. So it's, when it comes down to it, stuff like that can't happen. Can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with mistakes like that on the base path.
Yeah, that's about as raw and as honest as he is towards other teammates there. So Aaron Judge is 100% right. And once again, Sal, we've talked about this for years, the way you and I have both described Gleyber Torres. Yeah, he's talented, but he's not a winning player. His head's always up his behind in the field, on the bases. He's too streaky in the box. He's going to do something like this when it matters.
Yeah, and it did matter last night. Yankees trying to come back in that game and clinch a division. Gleyber Torres, you could bet on it. It happens. Set your watch to it. It happens every freaking time. He is the dumbest baseball player, and this is not hyperbolic or whatever. Gleyber Torres, I used to be Travis d'Arnaud. Gleyber Torres, for a catcher, that's bad. But Gleyber Torres consistently makes the stupidest mistakes on the baseball field I've ever seen. He is the dumbest baseball player. Not like a dumb person. I don't know him personally. I'm talking about like baseball IQ. He has the lowest baseball IQ that I've ever seen in my entire life, especially when you compare that with the talent that he has. Because he's a very talented player, but his baseball IQ is unacceptable. That is why I would have traded him a year ago or 2 years ago. It's certainly why I wouldn't trust him in a big spot. What do the Yankees think is going to happen? What does Judge think is going to happen? It's the same. It's going to happen in the postseason, and it's going to cost the Yankees. And maybe then they'll realize, we should just let him walk. Like, What are they waiting for? He's going to ruin another season for you in the postseason? If that happens in a postseason series, you could lose the series because of it.
You watch that play over and over as I did. And again, I put it on, I actually have the overhead video. It's on my X account if you want to check it out. I'm sure many of you have seen it, but if you haven't, just so you know what we're talking about. The amount of indecision is astounding.
Oh, God.
From somebody who's been around, what, six years at this point. It is maddening how you can't even get a rudimentary read on what is in front of you. It's not behind you. Now, I don't mean the throw coming in. I mean, once he gets to third base, everything is literally in front of him. All right, catcher's got the ball. Soto's at first base. They're second base. I'm literally staring at it. Rojas is behind me. You know, I am
saying stop. The double stop sign. Yep. Judges on deck.
Yep.
Whether they walk him or not, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You got it. Because you can't be thinking in your head before the play even happens, well, they're going to walk him here. I need to score. You're thinking Judges up next.
Correct.
I can't screw this up.
Yep.
Rojas is sitting right there in front of you with the double stop sign. Stop. That's it. End of play.
And there, listen, I know many of you do know this, if you played or whatever. But you are thinking, if you're locked in, unlike Torres, 2, 3, 4 steps ahead. Like, you, there's a reason why, and you see this a lot. Like, you see a baseball, like a runner at second base. He'll look at the outfield, right? He'll literally turn his back to home plate. He'll look at left, look at center, look at right, get the depth, understand, you know, what the arm strengths are. If the ball's hit here, I've got it. This is what he's doing. He's calculating the chances and the risk, you know, what's a risk and what's not, what I can be aggressive on and what I can't be. And you've got to do the same thing when you're on base. All right, we got the big boys coming up. Let me not run into an out here. And, I mean, this is baseball 101.
Yeah.
Now, if Juan Soto got pegged at second base trying to extend the play for Gleyber Torres to score
a run.
Different
story.
We've seen that a million times. Right. That's what you do.
Right.
That's why I said before, you'll always sacrifice an out for a run. Sacrificing a run for an out is the height of stupidity, and this kid does it all the time.
That's the point. He does it all the time.
He's never going to fix it.
What makes him think he's going to? They're just crossing their fingers, hoping it doesn't happen again. Because it's not from a lack of care or effort. He's just a dumb baseball player.
Yeah, hold on. I got a challenge on that. I don't think it's a lack of care. I'm going to give him that respect.
It's a lack of effort?
Yes, I do.
That play was, to me, too much effort.
Well,
I just think it's a lack of smarts.
I think it's both. I think it's attributable to both. Number one, he's got no instincts. He's got no feel for the game, no anticipatory gene. But too many times, the other night, I guess that was about a week or so ago, remember that little 3, 4, 5 hopper that went between Rizzo and second?
Yeah.
He didn't even move. That's a lack of effort.
Okay.
Like, you can, the problem with Gleyber Torres is he makes so many problems that half are based on effort and half are based on a lack of baseball IQ.
Right.
I think we're actually both right.
Yeah.
I know he cares. I'm not trying to denigrate him to that point. I know he cares, and everybody says he's sensitive and he's a good soul. Well, you know what? Show it a little bit more. I believe that, but when you put this out on tape every single day, loafing, not paying attention, you don't know baseball. And we can't, listen, it shouldn't be up to me and Sal on the radio to tell you how to run the bases. You know how to run the bases. It's disgraceful.
He's in the major leagues, and it's been happening for you. It'd be bad enough for 1 year, in rookie season.
Yeah, he was a young kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Or even if it was like, say, Jazz Chisholm, right?
Yeah.
Who came over from Miami, a losing environment, and it takes him, you know, 50, 60 games or a half a year or a year to immerse himself in the Yankee culture. The problem is that this is too often part of the Yankee culture where it's accepted, whether it's Josh Donaldson, whether it's the other guys loafing around. And I played the cut by Aaron Judge. Aaron Boone, again, a little bit too tacit for me, a little bit too much of a pass.
It's the sixth time this year Torres has been thrown out
of baseball.
Home.
Leads baseball. Six. And you know what he said, too?
What?
Did you hear this?
No.
I understand you defend your player, but he's like, do you know, and I paraphrase now, but the gist was, do you know the context of all six outs? Sometimes you just, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Like, you got to levy the boom, man. It's almost not time. It's go time. You're trying to win a championship, and this guy's running into outs, going back and forth like I'm playing pickle in the street in 1985 in Brooklyn when we would do, you know the game pickle?
Yeah.
Rundown? I mean, come on.
Get
a clue.
With Judge on deck. Whether they're going to walk him or not is irrelevant.
I know.
With Judge
that's
on deck.
That's ridiculous, Sal.
Oh.
He drives me insane.
Same thing. Because you want to just watch baseball being played the way that it's supposed to be played. If you don't have a high IQ, it drives me up a wall. Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to be the most talented player, but you got to play the game hard, and you have to play the game smart. something I tell my nephew all the time, like, just play smart.
That was little Joey.
Good. He's doing really well in hockey. He's playing very well. Excellent. Nice. A sick goal the other day. But the point is, like, I just want to see, you want to see the game played the right way.
Yep.
Talent is what it is. Some guys have much more talent than others.
Yep.
But if you play the game hard and you play the game smart, that's a good foundation to start from. And that's all you can ask for from players. Talent eventually, maybe that wins out. You know, Gleyber's ultimately talented. That's why he is where he is. He doesn't play the game hard and he doesn't play the game smart. And it's just unacceptable. And it's hard to win a World Series when you do that.